something that was said this morning has stuck with me all day. A lot of things that were said this morning have stuck with me all day, but one thing in particular that comes to mind is, you know, Brother Greg was talking about when Paul said that we have been made more than conquerors. You know, we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said that in this world you will face tribulations, you will face troubles. But he said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. It's in Jesus that we have our victory. It's in Jesus that we live, that we move, that we breathe, that we do anything anymore. Because we rely on him to be our strength. Because his strength is made perfect in our weakness, amen. So knowing that it's only through his strength that we can do anything, and knowing that it's only through him that we can do anything, through him, we're made more than conquerors. And because he has overcome the world, we have overcome the world. That doesn't mean that trials and tribulations won't come, but when they come, we'll be able to withstand them. We'll be able to withstand them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love. Destined to die and poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority and every victory is yours. Now all authority, every victory is yours. Power in him, speaking the Father's plan. You're sending us out, light in this broken land. Now all authority, every soul. Of all. by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone
the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, great job. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for bringing each one of your children to the house of the Lord tonight safely, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Didn't you love the testimonies tonight? Just think about what was said. You know, Brother Donnie said so much to encourage us, but the devil wants to kill each and every one of us. But when you got God on your side, you know, it changes everything. Like Brother Duckett was sharing with us, the power of prayer, being in the right place at the right time to be used to intervene on the behalf of someone who's being attacked. Praise God. And Sister Victoria sharing about the ability to witness, even standing in line to bring encouragement. That, you know, that's what our life is all about. You know, thank God what can happen inside the church house, but Thank God what can happen outside the church house. Amen? That's where the majority of the people are that you and I are going to come in contact with. Hallelujah. I just admonish you tonight just to let those testimonies just go over and over in your heart. And the very worship songs that we sang tonight, particularly about the reality that because of Christ, you can overcome. It's all about what He has already accomplished for you and I. I don't care what the struggle or the problem is tonight. I don't care what the situation may say is going to dominate and last. Everything has to fall to the name of Jesus. Amen? You and I, we can have exactly what the Word says we can have. Amen? Glory. If you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. You know, God's calling to each one of us continually. The question we've got to ask ourselves, am I answering? Am I answering? And the reality of the truth of that is that you and I, we have to answer according to the Word of God. You know, we want to answer on our own terms. But to really talk to the Lord and allow Him to be able to talk to us, making us what Brother Corey witnessed and testified about, a child of God with shoes on our feet. Like you said, Brother Donnie, we're not a slave. The slave didn't have shoes, and the ring was the authority. That ring was just like you signing your name and you giving your kids the ability to use your name. You know, that's what it means. Glory. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start in verse number 1. You and I, we're called to conquer. Amen. And we conquer by the grace of God. Amen. We're called to walk in victory. You're overcoming everything because of Christ. Amen. You're overcomers overcoming. You're overcomers overcoming. Ephesians 4 and 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, in love or by love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, as in you all. Say, that's me. Notice this, though. Verse number 7. Mark this down in your mind's eye with this calling. But unto every one of us is given grace. Hallelujah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Yes, Lord. Thank you for your anointing power from Jesus Christ to fall freely in our midst today, Lord. Let us fill our minds and open up our hearts, Lord, so we can step forth into the Word, Lord. Lord, I give you the praise and the glory and honor, Lord. Each and every word that goes forth, Lord, let us receive it, Lord, in that abundance of grace that falls freely out of heaven, Lord. Let us understand where it comes from, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for praying. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Father, from the foundation of the world, stamped His call on your life, on my life? And the enemy has orchestrated many plans and brought many deceptions and many distractions and many things to try to get us out of the will and the plan of God tonight. But we are going to live by faith, but we're going to live by faith through the grace of God. And that grace is the key factor. And we're going to look at some things tonight, I think, that will help us, will encourage us, and build us up. Before we get back into Ephesians, though, Sister Tori, would you put Romans 8:37 back on the screen? We talked about this morning, but this one verse, Brother Corey quoted it. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Now, he's writing to the to the church at Rome. So that's an epistle. An epistle is written to God's children. Say, that's me. Amen. So, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Hooper Nicano, more than conquerors through him that loved us. So tonight, you are called to conquer. You're an overcomer overcoming. Amen. And it's all because of the channel of Jesus Christ. So let's hold that in our mind. But the only way that we can be what God would have us to be is that we've got to hear this word and allow it to grow us up to the place of spiritual maturity to receive these promises. Because you can't receive them. I can't receive the promises of God. Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and in Galatians chapter 3, he goes into great detail talking about how you need a governor, you need a tutor to grow you up then into the fourth chapter. But let's see what he says here in this book of Ephesians chapter 4. He makes this statement back in verse number 1. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Do you recognize and realize that when you got saved, when I got saved, when we got born again, we become a bond servant to Jesus Christ. Now, we are the children of God, but we're children who are authorized, anointed, and appointed to serve. Amen? We don't serve because we have to. We serve because we get to. And we are the very bondservant of the Lord, and we have the ability to do what he called us to do in and from these verses of Scripture. Notice what he said. He said, "I beseech you, I'm calling you near to this truth, the reality that you need to walk worthy of the vocation with wherein you are called." Now, this word walk, it's a little deeper than what we'd understand. It means your manner of life, your conduct. You know, I want you to walk in that worthy part of your life. I want you to walk according to the Spirit of God being inside of you, because you have a vocation. That vocation is an invitation. You've been invited by God the Father through His Son, by the Holy Spirit. You have an invitation on your life to be what He called you to be. Now, this word called here, it really means name. See, you and I, we have a given name that was given to us. Some of us may have a nickname, and then we may have other names that other people calls us. And all of those have a connotation about how other people feel about us, how they look at us, perceive us, maybe how they rank us. But God the Father has an invitation for you to come out of the natural and to be what He's named you to be. Now, that's powerful. So Paul says, I want you to walk worthy of this. I want you to live a manner of life that is not what the world has labeled, maybe not even what you have received or attested to yourself. I want you to let God tell you who you are. I want the full naming by the Holy Spirit. See, when you got saved, when you got born again, you were sealed, amen, the Word of God says, by the Holy Ghost. When that sealing took place, there was a new name, as we sang, written down in glory. That is your name, but that is also it encompasses, it entails who God says you are. Not who you feel like you are, not what you look like in the natural, not what you think in the natural, but what thus saith the Lord. So Paul's admonishing the church here that to walk in that reality. And then he tells us exactly how we can do it. Now, stay with me just for a second as we lay the foundation. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, you got to be humble to receive the Word of God. I got to be humble. We got to say, God, your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. It's real simple to allow the flesh to override that little still voice, that little unction, and miss the best of God. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, notice this, forbearing one another in love. You and I, we got to put up with each other. That's what the word forbearing means. It means to put up with each other, but the channel of how we can do that in love, better translated, many other times translated by. We do it by the love of God. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is the oil that allows the many parts, just like an engine, just like a transmission, to run together in harmony. That's what allows you and I to work together in the body of Christ in harmony without damaging one another. We can just move the way God would have us to move. And so Paul here, he's bringing this admonition forth. So to be able to see who God's called us to be, when you got saved, when I got saved, when we got born again, we were as a babe in Christ, right? Because 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, what? Sincerely desire that milk of the word. Desire that you may grow thereby. And so we have to grow up. Now let's drop down to verse number 15. Verse 15 in this fourth chapter. This is how we grow up. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. In other words, God puts people in our life. He's talking about the fivefold ministry, but he's also each other. Out of the lay ministry, we can help each other. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So when you get born again, when I get born again, when we hear the truth spoken to us in love, it will always cause us to grow. If you ever hear anything that brings discouragement, that brings limitation, that creates doubt in your faith, then you can do what with it? You can throw it to the left or throw it to the right. It's not from God. Now, God will always challenge us, but that's not condemnation. That's not doubt. That's an excitement, anticipation that I can do better, I can be better, I can be all that he called me to be. Amen? And you can, I promise you. So this truth that is wanting to flow in and through your life and my life, it helps us to be able to walk in what God has named us to be. Now, if you and I, if we're not careful, we're very quick to take a person of authority's word or a person that we respect in the natural's word and allow them to put a label on us. If we're not careful, every one of us, if we'd be honest with each other, certain situations will arise in our lives and our mind will go back to what somebody said about us. And we say, well, I can't do this because this is who I am. This is what I was called. This is what I've done in the past. That has nothing to do with who you are now. That has nothing to do with who I am now, because we're born from above. And we're here in his name for his glory by his power and his authority. Amen? So let's see some things here. He tells us, I want you to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, why is that so important? He said, I want you to endeavor. This word endeavor is from a Greek word, I believe it's spoudazo, and it means to use diligence, speed, quickly, anything that would separate you from the bond of peace, anything that would bring despair in your life, bring discouragement in your life, bring a hindrance or a limitation in your life, quickly put it down. Amen? And recognize, no, I'm in the Prince of Peace. I'm born of the Prince of Peace, and I have his peace because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Brother Corey quoted it early, not the peace that the world has, but I give you my peace. And my peace is that overcoming peace, even in tribulation. Amen? So what we've got to do is we've got to hear the word of God and allow it to grow us up. We've got to allow that word to minister to you wherever you're at, wherever I'm at, and start stepping up in who we are. And if we will do that, all of a sudden, the bond that we have, this bond that we're talking about of peace, it's in the body of Christ. It's in the reality that everything is settled in heaven. God's just trying to get it settled in our hearts. The planning of God, the will of God, the role that he has for you in this life, it's already settled. There's no question who you can be and what you can be, because God, he gave you an invitation. He called you by a name. And I'm tired of living by the name of the world, aren't you? I want to live by the name that the Lord Jesus Christ has placed on me. That name is all about your entire being. Now let's look at some scripture here that'll help us. It should encourage us so much, because we've got to walk this out. And if we don't learn how to walk it out, we'll never be what he called us to be. A baby does what? A baby crawls. And a baby can't see what you can see. Have you ever noticed their view is completely different? And they see stuff that you don't see. Stuff that gets their attention. And stuff that pulls them away from what they are to be doing and gets them in trouble. But you and I, we're not to crawl through this world. We're to walk up above this world in Christ Jesus, and we do it by faith. Romans chapter 4, look at verse number 12. Talking about Abraham, it says, "And the father of circumcision to them which are not of the circumcision only," but notice this, we come here for this one purpose, "but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised." In other words, you and I, we're a work in progress just like Abram was becoming Abraham. Amen? And he walked by faith. And as he walked by faith, he come into more of the promises of God. And as he come into more of the promises of God, there was a circumcision that took place in the natural, but it also happened in the spiritual. You and I, there is a taking away of the things off our heart. Our heart is being opened up every time that we hear what God says and we allow Him to be the number one voice in our lives. Have the last say. Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Every one of us, God has said something that you can do and you say, no. That's putting what? That's putting His word down, and that's believing what the world or somebody in the world has said about you, has said about me. And as long as we do that, we're not seeking this in lowliness of mind. We're not receiving what He would have us to have. Amen? I want you to know you are a mighty warrior in Christ Jesus. Because God said it. Not because man said it, but because God said it. And you have got to receive that and wear it as a mantle. Let it be the determining factor of your action. Now, turn over to the 6th chapter. Talk about this walking and not crawling. And this is how you are called to conquer. And this is how you come to that place. Look at verse number 4. Romans 6 and 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him," with Christ. How? "By baptism into death." Now notice this. "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Not crawl, but walk. Walk in the newness of life. This life here is Zoe, the God kind of life. That's the life that Jesus said, remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come, John 10:10, I'm come to give you life, Zoe, the life that is more than abundant. Now, if there's an area of my life that I don't have abundance, guess what? I need to step back and see if I'm walking in the reality of truth, if I'm listening to the vocation, the invitation to the name that He has labeled me with or not. Because God can't lie. So the problem's not on His end. The problem is on my end. Amen? Now, notice what He said. He said, because Christ raised up, you can do this. Because Christ raised up, I can do this. It's not by your power. It's not by my power. It's by the reality that Jesus Christ is alive and well. He's on the right hand of the Father, but He's on the throne of your heart. Amen? And because He's alive and well, and He has conquered hell, death, and the grave, the devil, you are a conqueror. Scripture said you were more than. You know what a conqueror that is more than does? They go into the enemy's camp, and they get what was took from them and from their brothers and their sisters, and they bring it back. Colossians chapter 2, that's what Jesus did, remember? He went and He got the spoils and He brought it back. Yeah. I don't know about you, but the devil's took a lot of things from me. Yeah. And it's time that I stand up in the name of Jesus and go and get them back. Right. Not just for me, but for others. Amen? We've got a responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7. You can quote the verse. He said, for we walk, how? By faith, not by sight. Sight in the natural will limit God. Abram, as long as he was walking by what he saw, God come to him and told him what he was going to do for him time and time and time again. The Lord appeared to him. Come on now. He had a vision, a visitation. And then all of a sudden, Abram says, well, Lord, what are you going to do for me since you see that I go childless? What did he promise him all of those years before? You're going to have a son. And that son is going to be the start of many nations. Tonight, would we dare say and be honest to one another, God's promised us many things? That we've let situation and circumstance cause us to crawl and see what only the world has to offer rather than stand up and walk and see what God has said and promised. I don't want that view any longer, do you? I want the view from heaven. See, every believer is seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we are to look at the eternity and then look down at where we're at. And then start getting excited. And say, I see what God wants for me. I don't have it yet, but he's done promised it. It's done existence there. And all I got to do is speak it into existence here and to walk it out. Amen? By faith. And it'll be manifested. Amen? God used Abraham to teach us that lesson. What? Calling those things that be not as though they... But what do we do if we're not careful? He's fine. He is fine. What do? We keep calling what we got. And if we call what we got, that's all we'll ever have. You know, a lot of people say, and they say, well, that's just lying. That's not telling the truth. You know, if I told the truth, I would have never got saved. How did I get saved? How did you get saved? I come to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. But I confess you as my Lord. Jesus wasn't my Lord. The devil was. Was I lying? No. I was making a change because I was speaking out of my heart to create what God had for me. You spoke out of your heart to create what God had for you. Amen? That's what we've got to do about all of these things. So instead of saying, I'm never going to have enough money. I'm never going to have peace. I'm never going to have victory. Say what the Lord says. Find you a scripture. Don't pull something out of the air. Pull it out of the Word of God. Amen? And stand on it. And guess what? It'll come to pass. Amen? It'll come to pass. This is the fact. Now, so what Paul is saying is, by the grace of God, I want you to walk worthy with the invitation that I have named you with. He's waiting on you to RSVP. Amen. He's waiting on me to RSVP. And so we've got to be able to grow up, not crawl, but walk in that. Amen. But the way that we do that is that we understand that that naming has a responsibility and an obligation to trust God in the hardest of times. Amen? So let's look at an example. Go with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. The children of Israel, they had all of these promises that God wanted to bless them with and give them. But they had to, what? They had to walk it out and they had to not wander. If you wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, about the Word of God, you'll be wandering, W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, in your life. Two of the biggest things that will devastate you, that will hinder you and limit you. It doesn't mean you're not saved. You realize that we're going to have people who live and die, they're saved, but they never come into the Zoe kind of life. How do I know? From experience. I've had some Zoe kind of life, and it is so good. And I've had a lot of, and it's not so good. I want what God has. Amen?
Yeah.
Numbers chapter 14. God told him, he said, I want you to follow my word, and you're going to walk into the promised land. Now remember, the promised land is the type of the New Testament promises of God. He said, I want you to walk into that. And he said, I'm going to drive the enemy out little by little. And he said, I'm going to send my angel before you even. Glory. And so all you got to do is just walk, because we hear the shepherd's voice. The Lord goes before us. A man prepares the way for us. John 14. Follow that. And if we walk in that way, the enemy's being driven out. But see, we get to wanting to make our own way. We make our own way. God hasn't made promise or provision there. We meet the enemy head on, and we get knocked on our butt, and we blame God. I'm sorry. You may have not done this, but this I'm telling you from personal experience. God's a good God. Let's do it His way. Amen? All right, look what it says. For sake of time, verse 26, Numbers 14, 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Which, what do they do? Murmur against me. Now think about that. God takes it personally when you and I were coming up on the week of Thanksgiving. I didn't get to do my sermon. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving. We didn't get to do that this year. Maybe next year. But anyway, God takes it personally when you and I are not thankful. He said, if you're not thankful, then you're murmuring against Him. This is a big deal. Amen. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken my ears, so will I do unto you. Sounds a little bit like what Jesus said, right? Mark chapter 11. You shall have what you say. Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, says with his imagination, so is he. God's listening. That's why we got to go by His name, His calling, His invitation, and not what we're feeling. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall into this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Look at verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. So we can live and die in the wilderness of this world and never come into the spiritual promised land. And so what we want to do tonight, we want to see that God has named you, named me, an overcomer that is overcoming. That we're called to conquer. But we have to do our part. That doesn't mean He's going to take the enemy out of the way. It just means He's going to give you and I a victory over the enemy. Now what we've got to do, we've got to be like David. What did David do when he was confronted with Goliath? What did he do? He said, I have no problem with the bear. Or I have no problem with the lion. I have no problem with the bear. What did he do? He talked about what God had already done in his life, and that made Goliath, come on, his stature shrank. But if we're not careful, we don't do that, and we just get to talking about how big Goliath is, and he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we do that, we make our God smaller, smaller, and smaller. So we're not going to do that any longer. Amen? We're called to conquer. We're going to walk worthy of this invitation that we're named in. Now, think about it. In this invitation that you're named in, there is a seat there, and there's a placard there on the table with your name on it. And that placard is every accomplishment from the foundation of the world that God said you could do. Isn't that a lot better than listening to the devil? Oh, if we can just get this quickened in our spirit, we'll be forever changed. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now, thinking about Abraham and all of these examples that we've got, thinking about the children of Israel and where they messed up and how we can learn from their mistakes, let's put this to practice. We're not crawling, we're walking. We're walking by faith, and the grace of God is our power. But we've got to see that because God has named us through Jesus Christ, that we're in Him. Now, if you want to build yourself up, there's about 130 verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, that deals with you being in Christ, or in Him, or in God. Now, 130 verses, that means it's pretty important for you and I to get a picture of who we are. Look with me to Acts 17, Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Acts 17, 27 says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. The Lord is seeking you whether you know it or not. He's seeking me whether we know it or not, because He wants to be in you. That's His desire. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart more than anything, because He created you for fellowship with Him. Now look at the next verse. Get excited with me. Mark this down in your Bible. For in Him. Come on now. You need to write this on the table of your heart. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Now think about that. Because you're in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're in Him. He's in you. So you have life. Come on, that's eternal life. That's abundant life. That's everything that the world is looking for, but they need somebody like you to live it before their eyes. In Him, you have your life. You have your being. In Him, you move. In Him, everything about your life consists. Did Jesus lack anything when He walked on this earth? You and I shouldn't lack anything. I do. Is it God's fault? Should I get mad at God? No. I've got to come into the promises. I've got to follow where He's leading me. The things that you don't want to walk in, the things that I don't want to walk in, is the things that we need the most. And on the other side of the giant is the victory. On the other side of the giant is the provision. On the other side of the giant is the fulfillment of the promise. But you got to let Him lead you to the right giant at the right time. David had no problem, no issue with Goliath. Yet Goliath's son almost killed David. Because David fought a giant that God didn't call him to fight. We got to fight the ones that God is leading us to fight, and let Him have the perfect order. Let Him name everything about your life in His time. For in Him we live and move and have our being. That means everything is designated by the Lord. Amen? Do you believe that tonight? Amen. That's pretty weak. Come on now. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Talking about being in Christ. Look at verse 21. Now, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. For He hath made Him, God made Jesus. God made Jesus to what? To be sin. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ had to become sin. He was righteous. He had to become sin to eliminate sin. God made him, God made Jesus sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How? In him. So when you recognize and realize that because of what Jesus done, you're righteous, when the devil comes and sits on your shoulder, when he comes and sits on my shoulder and starts trying to bring that condemnation that the Holy Ghost dealt with this morning, it will not stick. It has no place for the seed to go into. Amen? Because your heart is sealed over by the Holy Spirit in that area, and the Word is active and alive in that area, and God is walking you in that area of victory. And the more that you and I walk in that and walk it out, the more it's a reality. Amen? So, sin is not the problem. You know, so we get our eyes so focused on the sin. And boy, if I could just get them to see that this is sin and it's hurting their life. That's not the issue at all. We're so sin conscious that we miss the Holy Ghost. What we've got to do is get people to see the love of God. That's it. The love of God will take care of the sin. The love of God is the victory. I don't need you to tell me what I've done wrong unless the Holy Ghost was to impress that upon you. I know when I do wrong. I need you to tell me there's an answer for what I've done wrong. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't care what it is. I don't care the struggle. I don't care how manipulative the enemy is and how broad the picture that he's painting of those chains and that wall that's trying to come around you. It has to fall at the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Okay. Let's read just a couple more. Colossians, turn with me to the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, for sake of time, let's just look at a couple verses here. I want you to see who you really are. It says, it's hard to... Look at this. Okay, verse number 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk, not crawl, but walk worthy according a walk of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing to the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In Jesus, because Jesus is the light. Amen? So we're in this light. Now, what does this light do? The light of the Lord dispels all darkness, all confusion, all misunderstanding. But also, the light of the Lord is what brings healing, whether it be spirit, soul, or body. And so in Him, there is a revelation that is working. In Him, it's like when you look at the sun first thing in the morning when it starts coming up. You know, you can't see everything as you would like, but as the sun comes up, it enlightens and it enhances, and you see things that you never saw before. And so every day in the Lord, there as you see the risen Savior come abroad in your life in a new way, it shines on your heart. It empowers you. It gives you the ability to step up above things because in Him, there is no darkness, right? There's no shadow of turning. And if you're in the light, you're in the light. Amen? Now notice what it says. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into... Where? Into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, the reason why you are a conqueror, a overcomer who is overcoming, is because you're in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. We've got to believe that. We've got to allow that to be the determining factor. And everything that we speak about the authority of Jesus over our situation, over our circumstance. If we don't, we'll end up bowing down to the enemy. We'll bow down to what we're dealing with. We'll bow down to what we're feeling, because the devil's really good at making you and I feel like God's forsaken us, like he's left us, like he doesn't really care about where we're at and what we're dealing with. I want to close with these verses. Titus chapter 2, because you remember what we read in Ephesians 4:7, that you do your Christian walk, your Christian life, by the grace of God. I do it by the grace of God. This is what the grace of God produces in our life. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation. In other words, the same grace that caused you to be born again, caused you to be saved, caused me to be born again, caused me to be saved, this is what it does in our lives. It has appeared unto all men to do what? Teaching. This word teaching means to train up a child, to raise, to mature a child. So we don't crawl, we walk, because we don't wonder about wandering. Amen?
Amen?
We're sure of who we are and what we can do and be. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Not that we should, but that we can. We can because of who we are in the Lord. Because that invitation with your name on it made all things possible. Amen? Now notice this. He said, I want you to know that you can what? You can deny. You can be taught that you can deny, stand against ungodliness, worldly lust, and live soberly. Now, what does that mean to us? Let's put it in a perspective we can understand. We talk about Ephesians chapter 5 all the time. What is it down about verse 18? Be being filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be. It's a continuation. And the word, the verb there is a continuum. And it means simply that. Be being filled. So if I'm going to be sober from the world, it means that I don't let what's on the outside come to the inside. I let what's in the inside determine what comes to the outside. Amen? And since he's commanded it, I can do it. You can do it. Because it's not your ability. It's his anointing. It's his word. That word is a seed. It will produce in your life. It will produce in my life. Now, he said that if we would do this, it would cause us to look for that blessed hope. Now, we know the Lord's coming back, and praise God, he is. But let's don't look at this and just look at it in one manner. It's not just the sounding of the trumpet and the Lord coming back. It's looking for the Lord coming in your situation, in your circumstance. It's looking for that. If you'll be looking for the Lord, if I'll be looking for the Lord, he said, if you seek me, you'll find me. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
That's our victory. That's our confidence tonight. That's how we can overcome. So we don't, when the enemy's putting the pressure on you, when he's putting the pressure on me, and he's trying to convince you and I to take a step back, to step off the Word of God and to step on the sands of life, you and I are able to say, no, I've got a blessed hope. I've got a Jesus that's coming, yes, for the eternity, but I got a Jesus that's coming every day, every situation, every circumstance. And he said, as I look for that glorious appearing, look what would happen in my life. Verse 14, I would have a revelation that Jesus gave himself for us, for me, for you, for us, that he might redeem, he might ransom us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Aren't you glad that you're special? That's what the word means. There's nobody else on the face of the earth. There's nobody else in heaven. There's nobody in hell that's like you. Glory. And he said, when you come to that realization, all of a sudden, look, jealous of good works. Zealous of good works. You see, this is why the devil doesn't want you and I to know that we can conquer. Because we'll always wait for somebody else to do. Brother James, it had been easy to say, well, you call somebody else. You know, if you'd been in the flesh, or if you've been so caught up in church, religious church, I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. I got to go to church. Thank God we need to go to church. But sometimes we need to do something else. David would have never had to face Bathsheba if he'd have been where God had him to be. Every time in my life that I have failed and sinned, it wasn't God's fault. It was my fault because I wasn't in the place of victory. If I follow the Lord, I'll always be in the place of victory because He'll never lead me. He'll never lead His children in the place of defeat. Now, in all seriousness, as we close, there's people that we love dearly. There's people that we don't even know that God loves dearly. And tonight, they're in the place of defeat. They're in a place where their life is a mess. And they're calling out to people. You may not have heard it in the natural, but they're calling out and there's a pull on you. If you'll notice, when you get around certain people, there's a pull there. Because God is wanting to use you to bring them up out of their situation, out of their circumstance. He's wanting you to show them by lifestyle and by words that you are an overcomer. You are a conqueror. Now, I can't tell people what God has done in your life. Only you can. I haven't overcome some of the things that you have overcome. But what I've overcome is real to me. And I can testify about it, and it has an impact. Think about what you've overcome and how real that is. And use that for the glory of the Lord. Use it for the advantage of the kingdom to bring people out of the snares of the enemy. Amen? There's tonight people that need to know that it doesn't matter what sin they're in, that it can be conquered. Because when it says that Jesus overcome all things, that means He overcome all things. Amen? Amen. And we've got to live it before Him. We've got to tell Him. God's not worried about what you've done. He's worried about what you're going to do about it. That's it. That's it. People get so caught up. They say, well, boy, I just can't come to God because I've done this, I've done that. He's not worried about that. He just wants you. That's all He wants. He wants you to come to Him and say, Jesus, I take you at your word. You said you'd forgive me. You said you'd help me. And I need your help tonight. Guess what? That's all He's looking for. And He's looking for you and I, if we've overcome in some way and we're walking in victory in it, He's looking for us to praise Him for it, but He's looking for us to share it to somebody else. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for goodness, grace, and mercy. We thank You for that You are the God that is more than enough. You are the God that has overcome, and You're calling Your people to be a witness, to be a light, to be a placard of reality, of truth. And I ask You right now, Father, if there's anybody in this service who feel like in a certain area of their life that they need victory, they need hope, they need help, that You would touch them and draw them. Starting right here with me. Well, we can submit ourselves unto You. You said if I would draw nigh unto You, You would draw nigh unto me. But You also said if I would submit to You, that I could resist the devil and he would have to flee from me. Father, touch us and draw us right now. Bring truth, bring revelation as only you can. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight? Would you come and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want to serve you. I want to yield myself to you. I want to get help in this area or that area, or I want to be used by you in this area or that area. One or the other. There's two sides of the coin here. You and I, we're either needing help or we're asking God to use us to give help. And this response should be 100% for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Would you come? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you need help tonight, I'd love to pray with you. It's between you and the Lord, no one else. Hallelujah. But I want you to leave here. I want you to leave here encouraged. I want you to leave here knowing that God loves you and He's listening to you. And He has a great plan for you. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You were planned from the foundation of the world. Would you come?